Welcome to another fantastic sport and lifestyle biz here on your Real Feel Good Radio, UK Health Radio. This week, we've got an Olympian special. We've got a show dedicated to Anna Hopkin, gold medal winning swimmer at the Olympics last year. Looking forward to three competitions in 3 months, starting next week. The World Championships in Budapest, now held there rather than Japan. The home Commonwealth Games in Birmingham. And then the European Championships to finish off a very busy schedule created by COVID. We speak fresh off the press from Anna about all her updates, her training, and perhaps a little bit of an injury shock for one of her teammates. Also, our SLB Sports Roundup, bringing you the latest and the best results from all around the globe in your sports. And we hope you enjoy the show. We start, as indicated, with swimming superstar Team GB's Anna Hopkin. Look out for our adverts halfway through this interview, and then at the end, we'll have our second set of adverts and then be straight into our SLB Sports Roundup. Well, everybody, today I'm joined again by international swimming star Team GB, Anna Hopkin. Hi, Anna, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me on again.
Oh, no problem at all. It's my pleasure. You always get massive hits with the audience because obviously you're so inspirational to many out there just looking to either get into sport or swimming. And obviously you're very successful, which helps. Today, I'd just like to catch up really from last time you talked about you were doing the International Swimming League. You'd been in Italy and places like that. And we're now actually pretty much on the verge of you starting that 3 month consecutive period where you've got three international championships. I obviously want to talk about all of that if we can, please, you know, without taking too much of your time. Perhaps we can start with the International Swimming League. Is that still going? Has that taken a break because of the championships coming up?
Yeah, it's not going ahead this year, and that's partly because of, obviously, the situation in Russia and Ukraine. The main guy that runs the whole of the ISL has a lot of ties in Russia and Ukraine, right. So it's just a bit of a difficult time for it to be going ahead at the minute. But yeah, Hopefully next year it'll be able to get back on track again, and I'm hoping to be a part of it next year. Obviously, I think for me, I may not have been able to do it this year anyway, just because it would have been far too busy, and yeah, I do really need a bit of a break over summer after obviously what will be a really busy few months now. Yeah. Whereas if I'd done the ISL, it would have kind of shortened my break quite a lot. So I think for me, it's not really changed anything, it being cancelled, but hopefully it'll be able to go ahead next year.
Yeah, and that's good. Interesting you say, because obviously you told me and you say to yourself that the ISL is so important to your development and your continued improvement because you're racing against the best swimmers in the world consistently. But obviously that means your body doesn't get time for a proper break.
Yeah, it is quite a tough series, and I think it's worked really well for everyone who's been a part of it. Obviously, the first time I did it was coming out of lockdown, first opportunity to race, and to be able to race at such a high level against some really high quality people obviously helps a lot going into Olympic year.
Yeah.
And then obviously it just gives people a lot of opportunities to race, and it's often been done in the sort of pre-season time, like September, October, November, which is obviously you're doing a lot of hard training, but also it's really good to get a lot of racing in.
Yeah.
But obviously for us, long course and the summer season is the priority, so it's kind of always worked really well having them slightly separate. But obviously, you know, the ISL obviously wants to expand as well, so it's just getting that balance of potentially having more matches throughout the year but also trying to prioritize the long course summer competitions. So it's obviously still quite a new concept, so I think everyone's still trying to get to grips with what works best for everyone and not compromising the competitions where you represent in your country. And obviously this year, with it being so busy, I think a lot of people would have really struggled to do all of it, whereas next year I think there might be a bit more opportunity to maybe prioritize the ISL for a bit longer and then obviously still do the long course summer meets without any distractions around ISL.
Yeah, very interesting. Obviously, you're telling us how it all ties in and how it actually benefits you, you know, even if it's nothing like real racing, doesn't matter how hard you're training sort of thing, and it benefits you sort of stepping up towards the summer. So it's obviously a very delicate and tricky situation at the moment. So obviously you're hoping that things are cleared up so you can get back into it next year.
Yeah, definitely. And I think they're going to have to look at the scheduling. It is really difficult. It's not like, obviously with football, their equivalent league is kind of the priority, and then you have like odd games where you play for England or you have your World Cups and things like that. Whereas with swimming, it's always been the priority is the competitions where you represent your country, which are every year in the summer. And so if you then have ISL matches throughout the entire year as well, it's difficult to find chunks of time where you can get some really good hard training in.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, and obviously with America have different competitions to Europe, you know, we have Europeans and Commonwealth this year, which America doesn't have. So everyone's year looks different all the time. So it is quite hard for the ISL team to balance that around everyone's schedules. But I think it's good that they're listening to athletes and trying to look at where we are going to be really busy, and obviously we have to think about our physical health and ability to train and prepare for like the Olympics and the World Championships. So it is just getting a balance, and I think it's going to be a bit of trial and error over the last few years.
Again, you're right, that's a very interesting point, the fact that America haven't got the busy schedule that you've got. So obviously it affects them by not having the competition. You've got three competitions, which we'll come into in a minute, leading up this year. Does that mean that next year's blank, or are they still running one of the three next year that's due?
Yeah, we should have a World Championships next year.
Yeah.
I'm not totally sure when it is, actually, because there's been a lot of changes this year. We were meant to have World Championships in May.
Yeah.
They've obviously now been moved to June, but it's in a different country. It was meant to be in Japan. It's now in Budapest.
Oh, right.
But Japan still want to host one next year. And then there's also meant to be a World Championships the following year. So actually three World Championships in 3 years.
Wow.
It'd usually be every other year.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And obviously because of delays with COVID and postponements, we have ended up with the three competitions this year.
Yeah.
But I think next year it should just be the one World Championships, and that'll be like the main priority meet for the year.
Yeah.
Which is why we're able to hopefully take a bit of a longer break over summer this year.
Right,
and then that'll pretty much be it really until the Olympics in terms of having a good break. We'll obviously get like a week here and there, but it's kind of the one opportunity we have to really take a bit of rest.
Yeah. And they are running the Olympics in 24, are they? Even though obviously it was an extra year, 21, the last one. They're running it in 24?
Yeah, they're going to go back to that. And then obviously from then on, it'll be the same four-year cycle. Because obviously, I mean, every competition is scheduled around the Olympics in terms of the Olympics takes priority. So you never have a World Championships in the same year as the Olympics. And you never have a Commonwealth Games in the same year as the Olympics.
No, okay.
Things like that. So if they then change the Olympic year, it would kind of mess everything up as well. So
absolutely.
Obviously, it just means that the years leading up to it this time are a bit more hectic.
Yeah, because you've got to cram effectively a four-year plan into three, really, haven't you?
Exactly,
Exciting, though, because it means you potentially get one extra Olympics. You never know how long your career's going to be, sort of thing. But that's your pinnacle. So the fact that you've got only to wait 3 years is quite exciting, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think for my career, it actually worked quite well having it a bit more condensed, because I was on an upward trajectory through like 2019, 2020, and just kind of getting to the point where I was good enough to make teams and hope for medals and things by 2021. So hopefully I can kind of ride that wave through to 2024, and having extra competitions, it's never going to be a bad thing. It just gives you extra opportunity to race at a high level and maybe pick up some medals and gain confidence going into the next Olympics. So I don't see it as a negative thing at all.
No, and it's fantastic, as you're right. It might have worked out well having the extra year between the last two. That's fabulous, and obviously great to hear. Just talking about your training now, how has your training been? Obviously, you said the ISL stopped. You're obviously building up to three championships in 3 months, where normally you have a break between each one. I think last time we spoke, you said you tend to have like sometimes a month wind down after a championships, but you've got three in 3 months. How have your training been? Have you changed your training to save your body for the challenging 3 months ahead, or have you almost trained harder so you're fitter? What's it been like for you?
Yeah, I'd probably say we've had to maybe fit a bit more bulk of training in.
Yeah.
Because once we get started on the three competitions, there's not going to be much opportunity to get a lot of high volume in.
No.
So we've kind of had 3 weeks in Florida in January, which was like a big block of training. And then we had a recovery week. And then we've kind of done another three we kind of do it in blocks of three. So another block of 3 weeks, really hard training. And then we had our trials. We're obviously the qualification for all these competitions.
Yep.
And we've had 3 weeks in Tenerife, which was another big block of training. And then we've recently been in Barcelona and France doing some kind of prep competitions with the rest of the world's team. So a bit of like team bonding, but also obviously getting some really good racing opportunities too. So it has been pretty hard work ever since sort of the new year. We've been working really hard, and then now we're starting to taper down and reduce the volume and the intensity to go into Worlds. And then obviously there will be periods where we have to try and get our volume up a little bit, but the time we have to do that is quite restricted, so we've had to kind of try and get a bit more work in before the World Championships, really.
Yeah, that does make sense, and I presume all the continued racing will obviously keep that flow going, as it were. I think I'm right in saying, I know I said 3 in 3 months, you've got the Worlds, you've now said that are in Budapest this month. Then move on to the Commonwealth next month.
Yeah.
In Birmingham, home games, and then the Euros in August. So it is amazingly hectic. It's going to be, without being negative to you, your body's going to take a bit of a battering.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, this is what you thrive for, these competitions, as you said, you know, with things like football, it's your team which takes priority, your league. When you play for your country, although some people see it as a massive honour, majority consider playing for their league, their team, their league as the pinnacle, whereas swimming and a lot of Olympic sports are totally the opposite. So
yeah,
this is your thing, and I'm sure your adrenaline will keep you going. Because you've got the three competitions in the 3 months, are you scaling down what you're doing at each one, or are you going for it and then making perhaps a judgment call after the Commonwealth to see if you can do the same for the Euros?
Yeah, I think obviously for Worlds, that being the first competition, going all in, there's going to be a lot of relays. And
yeah,
I'm hoping that I'll be able to do both my individuals, the 50-free and the 100-free.
Yeah.
That's going to be quite a busy schedule, but hopefully we'll be able to manage it. And then we have got, I think it's 4.5 weeks we have between finishing Worlds and Commonwealth starting. So that should give us maybe a week or two where we can get the volume up a bit more.
Yeah.
And then a couple of weeks where we obviously taper down. So I'm hoping that'll give me enough time to recover to be able to do a pretty stacked schedule at Commonwealth.
Yeah.
But the good thing about Commonwealth is obviously there's a lot less countries. The heats tend to be a little less competitive, especially in the relay. That means if I need to be rested for a heat, they can put someone else in.
Yes.
Or potentially in the heat of an individual, I can maybe not go 100% out and still make it back into the semi-final. So that's kind of something I can play around with depending on how I'm feeling. And then the Europeans are less than a week after the Commonwealth, so that'll be the one where we really just have to see how I'm doing. If it happens that I feel like I can only do the 50 and a couple of relays, then that's just what I'll do. I don't think there's any point, like if I'm not swimming as fast as I want to, or I'm struggling to do the amount of races I need to, then there's no point pushing it further than, because it's not gonna suddenly get better. Whereas if you give your body a couple of days to kind of rest and maybe just do a shorter event, you might be able to surprise yourself. So that's just going to be seeing where we're at, really.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip, because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Now, I fully understand that, and obviously If you don't feel your best and you're honest to management, that will go down well as well. They know they can trust you by telling them that, which I presume would be a good thing.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, in recent years, and obviously particularly at the Olympics, there was a few stories about people burning out, and obviously like Simone Biles sort of really struggled with the pressure. And you have to feel like you can be honest with your support team and that you will be listened to. And obviously the athlete's mental and physical health has to come before medals and places. Absolutely. So I think that's kind of, there has been a big change in that across a lot of sports. And I think that's something that's just like, no one's going to judge you for needing to sort of sit out of a race or take a bit of an extra break.
Yeah, and that trust has got to work both ways, as you said. It's not only you being honest, you've got to be in the position where you feel that when you ask for a break, if you need one, it's not going to be held against you.
Yeah, definitely. And I think with being a high-level athlete, you hope that, you know, everyone trusts you, that you're just doing what you know is best for yourself and not because you just want a bit of extra holiday or something.
Yeah,
I think, you know, that like shared trust that...
Yeah.
Know what's best for your body and you're able to be honest about it, and also the people that you're talking to trust you to be making the right decisions for you. So I think there is definitely that in swimming, at least.
Excellent. That's good to hear. Something you just touched on about in the Commonwealth, the competition in the heat may not be as strong, which is understandable, and I get that, because it probably wouldn't be considered the highest anywhere near the Olympics, if that makes sense. You know, it's still great to win a medal, just, you know what I mean, it's still not considered like the Olympics. How much difference do you really go to almost not give yourself a race, if that makes sense? I mean, it's not like the competition's 5 seconds slower, is it? Do you know what I mean? So how do you judge that? Is that very tricky? Is it sometimes trickier to try and look after yourself rather than just going for it and being safe?
I guess it comes down to experience a lot. Like, I did the last Commonwealth, and that was pretty much my first major international competition. So there's no way I was going to be holding back at all at heats. And it's good experience to be able to go all out every single round. You have to get used to doing that at the Olympics. But obviously, with this year being so busy and trying to manage energy, it's not necessarily something I would usually do, but it's just something that I know now I am faster than I was 4 years ago.
Yeah, of course.
I have a little bit more leeway to potentially hold back a little bit. But like with the Commonwealth, the... at least for my events, the final will almost be as difficult as Olympics or Worlds in terms of getting a medal, because you have the Australians and the Canadians who are so strong at my event, but also you're allowed 3 per nation into the final, which usually you're only allowed 2 per nation. So with the Aussies, who have 3 girls that could get gold, silver, bronze in my event, usually at least one of them wouldn't be able to qualify for the final. Helps everyone else out. But in terms of getting through the heat, because there's just less competitive countries, like you've got Australia and Canada and obviously the other English girls and some of the home nations, but other than that, they're kind of the only countries that are really competitive in my events. But obviously then when you get to the final and you have 3 of each nation, you're only allowed 8 in the final. So if you've got 3 Australians and 3 Canadians, there's only 2 more spaces available, so obviously I want one of them to be me.
Of course.
Obviously for the semi-final, that's top 16, so that means that, yeah, you should be fine to get in. And obviously I should be seeded pretty high going in to the competition, so that means I should be one of the later heats, so I can kind of watch everyone else's time.
Okay, that's a good point.
And then, you know, if there's 2 heats left and I'm in the second to last and I know that I need to go this to get top 16, roughly... Yeah. And I know what kind of form I'm in, then I should be able to sort of judge how hard I need to go.
Right. And that's interesting. A very good point that you make. And also the point that you make about it just being just as difficult for your event in the final, which is interesting, because I was just alluding to the Commonwealth isn't like the Olympics, but in your event, it seems like it is because of the Australians and the Canadians.
Yeah.
Well, the point I was trying to get across was, it's not like you go out there and dawdle, is it?
No.
I mean, running's probably, I think, easier. You know, you can quicken and stop, can't you, I suppose, with running. And then you said that, you know, if you do hold back a bit to conserve energy, you may not be in the middle 4 lanes. Does that make a huge difference? Or for someone of your quality, is it just, if you're in the middle, you can look both sides and see where your competition is rather than perhaps being obscured?
Yeah, I think it depends on the person, really. Like, obviously, some people love to be right in the middle of the action and where they can see everyone.
Yeah.
But also, that can be a bit of a distraction because everyone swims their race really differently. So you obviously don't want to be trying to swim someone else's race.
Yes.
So, for example, I tend to go out quite quickly. So I would like to be at the front at 50 anyway, but then people do tend to catch me up on the back half. So often it doesn't really matter what lane I'm in. I'm still going to swim my race the same way.
Right.
And obviously, if you are coming down the last 15 metres and you see someone right next to you, I feel like I'm going to push as hard as I can, whether I see someone there or not. So
it doesn't affect you really if you're in 1, 4, 5 or 8, really.
Yeah, not for me. Sometimes, like, being in an outside lane is actually better for me because I can completely swim my own race.
Yeah, just focus on yourself.
Yeah, like at Europeans, I think I was in lane 7 or lane 8 and I got bronze from there, and I didn't see anyone for the whole race. And that I always preferred that because there was no distractions. Kind of worrying about the fact that someone's a bit too close to me after 50 metres or I'm too far ahead. Someone at 50 metres, like, it doesn't matter, like, just race the way that you know is best for you, kind of thing.
I know this is probably a silly question, but have you done all this by trial and error? Have you tried to go out slower and finish stronger, it just doesn't suit you better? Or is just the quickest time you've been able to achieve it just by hitting it from the start?
I think because, obviously, I'm a 50 swimmer as well,
okay,
so I've got that natural speed. So, basically, on the 100, the aim is to go to 50 as easy as possible, but as fast as possible. So sometimes if you try and hold back that speed too much, you're almost exerting more energy to slow yourself down. So for me, I just get to 50 meters feeling like fast, but not hard.
Yeah.
And whatever that time is, like, I think if I tried to go slower, I would just not have the momentum.
No, that makes sense.
People who don't have that natural speed, the feeling's probably the same, like they're probably still going out like easy but fast.
Yeah.
But it's just they have more left at the end, whereas I'm out faster and sort of struggle a bit more at the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just different, like whatever feels best for the individual.
That's fab to hear. Okay, so we're not gonna keep you too long now. I know you obviously you've got a very tight schedule, and then when you're not training and getting ready, you're relaxing. So just to finish off, Anna, if I may. Can you just go through some of the events that you're going to do on your home soil at the Commonwealth Games? Then give us a quick thought from your heart on what you think it will be like to perform in front of the home crowd. And then finally, would I be right in saying that the Euros is probably your best chance of gold?
Yeah, potentially. I think it'll be because everyone's had, obviously, Worlds beforehand.
Yeah.
Some other people have different competitions.
Yeah.
I think Europeans is the one where not everyone will be there. Everyone's going to be in different shapes, and like some people are going to be more tired than others. So I think Europeans will just be whoever takes the opportunity in the final. And obviously that could be me.
And sorry, that wasn't me saying you can't win gold in the others. I was just thinking because you brought up the point about the Australians and the Canadians being in the Commonwealth.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I just wondered whether you saw that as potentially an opportunity to say, yeah, I am the best here.
Yeah, I think it probably is just because there's a little less depth in each individual country in Europe. So.
Yeah.
You have a lot of individuals, but I think everyone's a little bit closer together. And obviously, it'll just be interesting to see who's actually doing Europeans and who's going to be there. So, yeah, it'll be a really good one to obviously do. I'm glad I'm doing it, even though it's going to be at the end of a busy 3 months. But
And then the events you're doing at the Commonwealth and what it'll be like to actually perform in front of a home crowd.
Yeah, so I'll be doing the 50 free and the 100 free individual, and then the relays we've got are the 4x100 free for the women, the 4x100 medley for the women, the 4x100 free mixed, so two men, two women, and then the 4x100 mixed medley. So there's four relays and two individuals, and obviously the individuals have heats, semis and finals, and the relays have heats and finals, so it could be a lot of racing, but hopefully I wouldn't have thought I would be doing every single of those. Like, obviously some heats I won't necessarily do, but it's going to be really exciting to do. My parents really wanted to come out to the Olympics to watch me, but obviously they weren't able to, and a lot of friends and family who usually only get to watch me at like British Champs or home games. So
it's going to be brilliant, isn't it? It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, really special that they can all come watch as well. And I think it'll just be like just a good atmosphere all around. Like there's obviously going to be a load of other sports going on, a lot of other people around, and it's got that like Olympic Village feel, but obviously it's kind of, it's known as like the friendly games, and I loved it last time. Like it was probably one of the best experiences I've ever had, so I think for it to be at a home games as well will make it even more special.
Brilliant. Now let's remind everybody that you're going into the 4x100 medley mixed as Olympic champions. I presume it will be the same four, will it?
Well, unfortunately, Adam has injured his ankle and Kath injured her back. So actually, it's only two out of the four. So that is going to make quite a big difference. And I think our aim will be to try and get on the podium. Right. I think when you are missing someone like Adam, that is quite a big chunk of time that you then lose. So it's going to be much more challenging to win or even get on the podium. But we'll obviously give it our best shot and hope that we can still get a medal out of it.
And if you don't mind me asking, I don't know if you're allowed to say, does that mean Adam's out the whole summer or is he just out the relays?
He's hoping to do Commonwealth, so it's just Worlds that he won't do it, which is obviously going to be hard for that relay, but then come Commonwealth, hopefully he'll be fit again to do that and hopefully we can win that one.
I think it would probably lift the other teams because I think that's just natural reaction. But why not? I mean, it doesn't mean you can't win. You know, you saw the other two of you and Guy.
Flynn.
He was brilliant, wasn't he, in the Olympics? He was absolutely brilliant. And so were you. Let's not lose the fact that you had the monster, the American, that was on your leg. Yeah, but he was given no chance, really. But you still had that threat and you just got your head down and you swam and you fought everybody else off to bring the gold home. So let's see what you can do. I think you can still do it. And if we can come and watch, that would be great. We're trying to. But whatever happens, best of luck for the Worlds, which is obviously happening soon. You must be off soon.
Yeah.
And then you've obviously got the 5.5 weeks. So perhaps we could catch up again in between that time just to go through how you felt the championships went and, again, how you're looking forward to the Commonwealth. But yeah, for today, for all of us here at the radio and Get Pro Academy and everything, we just want to wish you all the best for the Worlds. Have a great, a safe and a successful summer.
Oh, thank you very much.
Brilliant. Thanks, Anna.
No problem. Thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with ZeroZilchZip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit ZeroZilchZip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We finish off our show with our SLB Sports Roundup featuring golf, horse racing, cricket, darts, NBA and motorsport. We start with golf, and it was the combined event for the PGA and European Tours this week, with the third major of the season, the US Open, held from the Country Club in Brookline, Massachusetts. It was won by English star Matthew Fitzpatrick, gaining his first ever major victory, and a brilliant final round with another up-and-comer from America, Will Zalatoris, and current world number one Scottie Scheffler. They traded birdies, pars and bogeys, but finished one shot between the three of them, with Matthew Fitzpatrick winning on -6, one shot clear of Will Zalatoris and Scottie Scheffler. Hideki Matsuyama and Colin Morikawa had brilliant final rounds and finished in the top 10, both of them, as did Rory McIlroy, and just outside the top 10, Jon Rahm. So it was a good tournament on a very challenging course. The PGA this week goes to Hartford in Connecticut for the Travellers Championship at the TPC River Highlands course. The European Tour holds a big event, the BMW Invitational, at the Golf Club München Eichenried in Germany. The LPGA had the major LPGA Classic from the Blythefield Country Club in Belmont, Michigan, and it was won by Jennifer Kupcho in a three-way playoff, showing her mettle and how she's matured as a golfer, fending off Lexi Thompson and the back-from-injury Nelly Korda. They all finished on minus 18. Nelly Korda dropped out with a bogey on hole one, and then Jennifer Kupcho saw off Lexi Thompson on hole two. Brilliant from Jennifer. Fantastic that she's able to be that mentally strong. This week, it's their next major on the LPGA, the Women's PGA Championship from the Congressional Blue Course in Bethesda, Maryland. Horse racing, some good performances from Royal Ascot, but not all from those that we expected. Brilliance from Baeed in the Queen Anne was the star of the show. Rohan and Stratum both doubled up, back-to-back victories, having won their same races as they did this year at last year's festival. And Mediate probably looked the best two-year-old on show, winning the Albany, and is now favourite for the 1,000 guineas next year. Ryan Moore was top jockey, and Naden O'Brien was top trainer, but they were pushed by William Buick and Charlie Appleby. The French Oaks saw our friend Holly Doyle become the first woman to win the French Oaks, a classic, her first classic winner, with a brilliant ride on the amazing filly Nashua, trained by John and Tady Godston. We indicated this last weekend that Holly was going for the race after finishing a brilliant third in the English Oaks, but not quite staying the mile and a half as well as the two horses that beat her. Back to the 1 mile two for the Prix de Diane, and it worked a treat. She was brilliant, always on the front end, quick and clear, and held on from a late challenge. On to cricket. The Test team and the one-day team are doing brilliantly. England 2, New Zealand 0 in the Test series. Both times England could have lost and got big fourth innings targets. With the new regime under Brendan McCullum as coach, Ben Stokes as captain, playing dynamic cricket. Sometimes it goes wrong, but it looks like it's working. They are knocking runs off like you wouldn't believe. Test 3 is this week, and then England are beating Netherlands 2-0 in the one-day cricket, despite out of form Owen Morgan having two ducks, but still the best captain in the world. What do we do with Owen? England are still winning, setting a world record in the first one-day international of 498 for 4 off 50 overs. And then Netherlands batting first in the second one, getting 235 for 7, and England knocking them off with the loss of 4 wickets in no time at all. Darts, and last weekend was the World Cup. And it was won by outsiders Australia with Simon Whitlock and Damon Hetter. They were both brilliant and surprisingly beat Gerwyn Price and Johnny Clayton in the final, 3-1. Australia coming past England in the semi-final, James Wade and Michael Smith. And Wales beating the Netherlands, Dirk van der Bode and Danny Noppert. NBA, and we were just waiting for the final two games of the series. Find out who won the rings and were NBA champions. We're pleased to say it was Golden State Warriors and the magic man Steph Curry. 2-2 going into last week. The Golden State Warriors won their home leg against the Boston Celtics, 104-90. And then went to Boston and beat the Celtics on their home court to win the series 4-2. It was 103-90 in Game 6 with Steph Curry getting 40 points. The Golden State Warriors are the 2022 champions of the NBA. Motorsport. We start on two wheels as always with MotoGP, and it was the Motorrad Grand Prix of Deutschland from the Sachsenring in Germany. It was won by Monster Energy Yamaha's works rider Fabio Quartararo, gaining 25 points. Second place Johann Zarco for the Ducati Pramac Racing on 20 points. Third place Jack Miller on the Ducati factory bike, 16 points. Fabio Quartararo extends his lead in the championship standings. He's on 172, still being chased by Alexia Spargaro from the Aprilia team on 138, with Johann Zarco creeping into third for Pramac Racing on 111. World Superbikes are not back now until the 15th of July, with the British round held at Castle Donington. The standings see Alvaro Bautista for the factory Ducati team out in front on 220 points. 36 clear of six-time world champion from Northern Ireland, Jonathan Ray. He rides for Works Kawasaki. Third place, Toprak Ratsakalioglu for the Works Yamaha team, way back on 141. British Superbikes were back this weekend with round four and races 10, 11 and 12 from the Knockhill using the full circuit. Bradley Ray won race one for the OMG Racing Yamaha team, beating Jason O'Halloran back to form for McCam's Yamaha. And Rory Skinner for FS3 Racing Kawasaki took third. Race 2 was won by Jason O'Halloran. Second was Lee Jackson, teammate of Rory Skinner on the FS3 Racing Kawasaki, with Rory Skinner filling the third position yet again. And in race three, it was won by Jason O'Halloran for McCann's Yamaha, beating Bradley Ray, OMG Racing Yamaha. Third place, Lee Jackson, FS3 Racing Kawasaki. And those three lead the standings, but it's Bradley Ray out in front. He's on 216 points. Second place, Jason O'Halloran on 200. Third place, Lee Jackson, 174. Speedway is back this week with round five and a Polish Grand Prix from Gorzów. Bartosz Szmarzyk leads the standings on 62 points, 11 clear of Magic Janowski on 51, with Leon Madsen back in third on 50. On to four wheels, and NASCAR had a rare week off in the season, and they're back this week with the Ally 400 from Nashville and their Super Speedway. The standings are led by Chase Elliott, driving a Chevy Camaro for Hendrick Motorsport on 536, just 16 points ahead of his teammate Ross Chastain, also in the Chevy Camaro of Hendrick Motorsports. And Kyle Busch is a further just 7 points back for the Toyota team, driving the Camry for Joe Gibbs Racing. IndyCar are now not back until the 3rd of July with the Honda Indy 200 at Mid-Ohio. And the standings are led by Marcus Ericsson for Chip Ganassi Racing. The Indy 500 winner is on 293 points. Second place is Will Power for Team Penske on 266. And just five further back, two-time champion and his teammate, Joseph Newgarden, for Team Penske on 261. Formula E are back on July the 12th with the Marrakesh EP around the beautiful streets of that city in Morocco. Stoffel van Dorn leads the standings for Mercedes EQ team on 121. Second place, Jean-Éric Vergne for the DS Chitita team on 116. Third place, Eduardo Mortara for Rokit Venturi Racing on 114. Formula One, it was the Canadian Grand Prix last weekend from the Gilles Villeneuve circuit. It was won by Max Verstappen. Unsurprisingly, he is driving brilliantly at the moment for Red Bull. He gained 25 points. Second place was the Ferrari of Carlos Sainz. 19 points, 18 points for second, and one for the fastest lap. Third place, back on the podium, his second of the season, Lewis Hamilton for Mercedes, gaining 15 points. The standings see Max Verstappen out in front on 175. Second place, his teammate Sergio Perez on 129. Third place, Charles Leclerc for Ferrari on 126. The constructors' standings see Red Bull out in front on 304. Ferrari in second on 228. And the Mercedes are third on 188. Some snippets to take from the Canadian Grand Prix as they now have a couple of weeks off. Max Verstappen is showing that he is driving the best of the season. Absolutely brilliant, defending his world title with great driving. Carlos Sainz has proved that he can be a racer. He can step up when his car allows him. And he pushed Max Verstappen all the way. Although there is reliability problems with both teams, with Charles Leclerc having to take a new power unit after two breakdowns in three races. He started from the back and drove up to sixth with a great drive. Red Bull, Sergio Perez crashed out in qualifying and then broke down again. So, is there reliability problems with both of those cars? Although, one car from each finished the race in first and second. And then we've got Mercedes. Brilliant drives from Lewis Hamilton and George Russell, who gambled in qualifying in Q3, going on to slick tyres and spinning. But he went for it. And that's what we like about George. Fearless and willing to try anything. And then Lewis probably got a little bit close at the end because of the safety cars. But when Max Verstappen was being pushed at his hardest by Carlos Sainz, so both cars are going for it, he wasn't losing that much each lap. So Mercedes are getting there. They look back, and at least it gives Lewis Hamilton and George Russell a chance to push for podiums. We'll see at the next race whether it's a continuation or whether it's a full storm, like it was earlier in the season. That's our SLB Sports Roundup. Well, everyone, it's the end of another great show. Again, you're listening to Anna Hopkin, swimming superstar of Team GB. We want to wish her well as she's now set off for the World Championships in Budapest rather than Japan. She's back for a few weeks, and then in July, it's the Commonwealth Games, a home games in Birmingham, and then almost straight after that, it's the European Championships. We'll be following Anna all the way through. We'll just be giving you updates, and we're going to try and grab another interview with her in between these World Championships and the Commonwealths towards the end of July. Thank you to you, the listeners. We hope we bring you some great content, and we keep you entertained. Thank you also to Johan, Raffaella and the team at UK Health Radio for the platform you allow us. We'll see you next week. Tonight, I'm gonna have my-
myself a real good time. I feel alive. And the world, I'm turning inside out. Yeah. I'm floating around in ecstasy. So
don't stop.
Stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball.